from Capital Broadcasting Company, this is WRAL, Out and About. I am your host, Kathy Hanrahan. I'm here with Ashley Roddy. This is a podcast about everything fun happening in the Triangle. And also, you know, we delve into some just ghost stories, and we hang out with Tar Heel Traveler. And this week, we're delving into the history of WRAL and, like, the building. Because, you know, with all the ghost stories we've done, right, we were kind of wondering more about the building.
Yeah, and we did. We tried several times to pick up recordings of ghosts.
Because we're sure they're here.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to be.
They have to be.
Like,
we know.
How many years?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a very, very long time. So that led us to figure out where, like, where would these ghosts be? Where would they be hanging out? And we discovered this weird, like, cavern under... It's called, some people refer to it as the Chamber of Secrets. It's where the promotional stuff is. And you can hear our guest laughing. We have this led us to our guest, who is Jay Jennings. He's been at WRAL for ever.
I've been haunting the hallways of here since 1980.
Oh, my goodness. So that kind of led us to him. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the Chamber of Secrets, that little space that's what Anita normally refers to it as.
The Chamber, that's good. I've never heard it called the Holy of Holies, the Inner Sanctum.
It is creepy.
Yeah, it really is.
And they hold promotional materials, anything that's extra, like they're extra, like banners and different things. And
it's an unusual space because it's the combination of an old orchestra pit, because that building, the kind of the middle building here at the Western Boulevard campus, used to be an auditorium. It was a performing arts auditorium. And
so there was opera?
There was opera. It was actually built because A.J. Fletcher, the founder of Capital Broadcasting, was a fan of opera. And one of the things that he did, I think I can do this without going too far down the rat hole, but he was a fan of opera, and he so believed in opera that he wanted opera for the common man. So the National Opera Company, which was a division of Capital Broadcasting, translated all of those great Italian and European operas into English, and then would perform them here. And so that was the main performing. And they were still doing performances of the National Opera Company when I started here in 1980.
And so they were doing that there. And that's.
And then they would travel around and do it elsewhere. But that's part of it. But they would also use that auditorium. They used it for some television programs. They used it for station meetings. It was used for a lot of different things.
And where that auditorium was is where our old newsroom was.
Right. Yes. The newsroom that existed from about 81 until 99,
yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was where the old newsroom was.
Yep.
And so people, and the staircase, so people would go down the stairs and go under.
Yep.
The
so that area that was underneath. So if for those folks who may remember or grew up in the area, remember the old days of Charlie Gatti, mm-hmm. Donna Gregory, and that news set, the Bobby Batista, mm-hmm. Rich Brenner, Bob DeBartolo news set, actually was the stage of the theater.
Oh, wow.
The floorboards underneath that stage, if you saw them, those were the boards of the stage. And the newsroom actually was in the area where all the seats were in the theater.
Wow.
And so you'd go down those steps underneath that stage, and that area below there has been many things. It was the original area where it was the original Weather Center.
Oh, wow.
There was the on-TV Weather Center upstairs, but that downstairs was where they had all their computers and printers and all that, all the radar stuff was all down there.
So the staircase to nowhere, which is now, like, blocked off because, you know, it's been sealed. So the staircase to nowhere, if you went down that staircase, that space I was standing was, the Weather Center. That's crazy.
And we used to have a print shop down there.
What?
Yeah. Capital used to do all its own in-house, all its printing.
I think
in-house.
I remember that. I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I just can't believe it. Wrestling. They had wrestling here.
Here's one of my favorite. Oh,
it's like how
so
did
down.
We have? I'm like,
when was this?
Was
and
the Rock?
Like,
it was.
It was
in
the tapes.
It was in the. I think it goes back to the '60s. I know it was in the '70s and the early '80s.
Man, so I would have missed it anyway.
So yes, and it was what is now. What eventually became WCW, mm-hmm. It was that.
Oh, wow.
That flavor. It was called Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. And so they would come here, and I can't remember what night of week it was. It was a weeknight. Mm-hmm. And wrestling would come in, all the wrestlers and the promoters and all that sort of stuff, and they would do commercials all day long, all afternoon long. They would just dominate the our studio here.
Wow.
And, you know, it would be I'll see you at Dorton Arena this Saturday. You know, it was all of that stuff where they'd have, you know, Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair would be yelling at each other.
Was Ric Flair here?
Oh, heck yeah, baby.
And was he yelling like he was doing?
He was wooing and, you know.
Was he hitting people with chairs?
Not during the afternoon, but during the evening, yeah. And so it was really weird. All the guys would congregate out back, either outside the station if it was a nice day or if the weather was inclement, they'd be inside. And they'd all be sitting there hanging out together. And, you know, the two guys who hated each other in the ring, they'd be standing there eating fried chicken and pizza. And then he'd say, hey, guys, it's time for you. And they'd come out and do their thing, and they'd go back.
Wow.
But then in the evening, they would tape a broadcast, what would be run on several stations, including WRL. They would tape that there in the studio. The same studio that today is now the site of our new news set.
So Studio A, which is now the news set. Oh, my goodness.
It had bleachers that you'd pull out from the wall.
Wow.
And it would be packed. It would be on wrestling days. They were crazy days.
How did they handle getting everybody in and out? Was that crazy with, like, you know, getting people in the newscasts were happening? Because we had evening newscasts. We had that. I mean, how did they? That must have been a while.
Oh, it was. And then, yes, you are correct.
Like getting people in and out. Yeah.
And then there was the dressing room up at the top of the steps above the. Mm-hmm. Which was the dressing room that was also used by the National Opera Company, was also used by a lot of our on-air talent. So you'd have Bob DeBartolabe and Charlie Gatti in there putting on their makeup next to Ox Baker and, you know, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat and,
Ox.
You know.
Just imagine.
A name like Ox.
I mean, I can still remember walking down one of the main hallways where the administration offices were, the general manager and station manager and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Coming around the corner, and there is Rowdy Roddy Piper walking the other way in his kilt.
In his kilt.
What?
Oh, yeah, Rowdy Piper was.
No, I'm familiar with this guy.
I didn't know if you'd... Ashley, are you like a secret wrestling fan?
I grew up... Okay.
Oh, no, we need to know.
All right, Ashley, confession time.
Fill us in. Come on.
My family just deeply, deeply believes in wrestling. Like,
when you say we need a definition behind belief.
Okay.
Yeah, belief.
An institution, as something culturally significant.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
And so it was very our wrestling time was like our American Idol time.
Okay.
Like, catch the show.
They enjoyed the soap opera narrative of professional wrestling.
And chairs.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Oh, there's a story actually about that old dressing room upstairs. Let's just say a lot of the competition was dramatized.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when guys didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. And there were times when it was real. The pain was real. And one night, there's a story. I wasn't here at the time, but I've heard several people talking about it, who long-timers, that a wrestler by the name of Wahoo McDaniel, who was
That's
a legend.
That's a great name.
Oh, he's fantastic. He was actually a great college football player. He wrestled here, and he got in a fight. He and another guy got in a fight in that dressing room at the top of the steps up there.
That's crazy.
Well,
it's not on camera. No, and so somebody said, is anybody going to go stop that? But goes, no.
No.
Wahoo is going to stop the fight.
Yeah. I mean, who would go up there and be like, I'm going to break this up?
So,
I mean,
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we grew up watching wrestling. I'll admit that, too. We did. Like, that was a big thing. And I had a friend who was into it, and she got everyone else into it because we all were friends with her.
Who was your favorite wrestler?
Oh, The Rock.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
I love The Rock, and I love Stone Cold Steve Austin because I like the fact he would steal things. Like, he liked to take, like, a Zamboni, and they'd be like, he's commandeered a Zamboni. Like, he's just taking the Zamboni.
Yeah.
And he would just drive. He was just so bizarre and weird.
And there's nothing like, you know, Stone Cold making that random entrance, and you'd hear the breaking glass. And you see everybody's like, oh, freak out. Like, oh, no.
So, yeah.
And he'd come out and, you know, stun everybody,
yeah,
give
he
a Stone
stun
Cold
everybody,
stun.
Stunned everybody. We used to love The Rock. I got to meet Man Mankind, Mick Foley.
Oh, wow.
Such a nice person. He's just he's
so
very
you
gentle.
Said you met Mankind. And Mick Foley, you know, he had like eight characters.
He had eight characters. I met Mick Foley, and he had Sacco with him, which is the sock he would wear in his hands.
Oh, no.
Sacco. I loved when The Rock and Mick Foley
He didn't give
together.
You the mandible claw.
He did not do the mandible claw. All right. But I loved when him and The Rock
See, I know way too
up.
Much about
it. You do. And I think it's hilarious that we all know. I would never think the three of us would be sitting here talking about
right,
this.
Is
I think
odd.
She just gave me the people's eyebrow. I could be wrong.
Oh, I mean, we loved it. We used to watch it. We would get the pay-per-view. Like, yeah, one yeah, of us would yeah. buy it, and all the friends would come over, yeah, and we would watch gotcha. It together. Oh, yeah, it was like a thing. We went and saw it live, like, a whole bunch of times.
Do you feel
yeah.
better getting this out?
I do. I feel like it's just I'm letting it out. I'm
Cleansed.
Just...
But but that I just think it's the irony of that same what we call Studio A.
Yeah, Studio here, A.
Here at WRAL is where we did wrestling. It's now the scene of our new news set. You know, that spectacular new set.
That big screen.
It's amazing.
It's the biggest, possibly the biggest screen in the country. Oh, yeah. An LED screen in a newsroom. I tell you, the first time I was on that set, and I didn't do any rehearsals because I'm not big time enough for rehearsals. So I went in there just cold turkey
right.
on my Friday for my Friday segment. And I just got kind of thrown in there. And I was like, this is the most overwhelming.
Wow.
It was just so big.
It's pretty amazing. I was in there for a few of the rehearsals. It's just
amazing.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
But that same space, wrestling, news, it's where we've done so many of our telethons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the children. We've done. We also did.
CFNC does like a telethon every
yeah.
year.
Yeah, I mean, it's where
attorneys on call.
And where we've done
the holiday events, we've done performances for the tower lightings. We use it for everything. It's where we do events and food.
Long timers will remember it was also where we did Uncle Paul. Uncle Paul was
Uncle
our
Paul.
Kid show.
Oh,
it was a kid show that we did.
Like, oh my God.
Like some, you know, so many TV stations, especially in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, did kid mm-hmm. shows where
yeah.
they would run cartoons and they'd have a host. Well, our host was a guy. Was Uncle Paul. He was Paul Montgomery. He was a performer in the area who was actually legally blind, who was a phenomenal jazz pianist, and he would play a lot of the clubs in town. And then he would come in and put on his top hat and his tuxedo jacket, and he would march around with kids. So many, I've lost track of the number of people that I know who will come up and say, I was on Uncle Paul,
wow.
I marched around. And then later we did a show, that was succeeded by Frog Hollow, which was also done in that same show.
Wow. Take a quick break.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Okay, we're back with Jay Jennings, our unofficial historian at WRAL.
Very unofficial.
Oh, tell me about the tower lightings, because, I mean, you've been here long enough, and we're getting ready for tower lightings coming
yeah,
up in
yeah.
December. Can you tell me more about, like, the history of the, you know, you were telling me a story about how the first time it lit up.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure who, I think Mr. Fletcher is the one who came up with the idea of you know, we got this thing that looks like a Christmas tree. So let's turn it into a Christmas tree. And actually, that's our second tower here at the TV station. Mm-hmm. We had another one that sat kind of behind the building, between the building and the gardens. And then when we expanded we built a new building, we had to move that tower, so they built a new tower. But they continued the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So as most folks know, that the lights stay on the tower all year long.
Then we send somebody up to inspect.
Yep, send somebody. And occasionally, if you happen to drive by like late November, early in the morning, late at night, they'll turn them on just to check them to make sure.
Oh, make sure they're all lit.
They're all lit. So the decision was made. We're going to put lights on the tower. We're going to turn it into the Raleigh's biggest Christmas tree, probably North Carolina's biggest Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And so the story goes, as Scotty Stevenson, who was the longtime administrator here at the TV station, just a great lady. She was responsible for making sure that a lot of the oral history of the company was passed down. She told the story of how they turned on the switch one night, and traffic stopped on Western Boulevard. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. People were pulling over, taking pictures, going home, getting the camera, coming back. And wow. It was a real event.
It became a thing. Because that's the thing. We don't ever say, hey, come see the tower lighting. People just show
they
up
just
every
show up.
Year.
They just show up.
They just come and they gather outside and they bring chairs and yeah. they wait and they want to see the tower get lit.
One of the neat things I can remember back in my days working in the sports department here, we used to take the helicopter Sky 5 out mm-hmm. to do high school football games. Mm-hmm. And we, you
that's
know,
fancy.
Oh, it was pretty sweet. There's nothing like landing the chopper at the 50-yard line of a football game and you step out and the crowd's cheering. It's,
aww.
You know, that's an ego boost if there ever was one. But we would fly back and during the last couple rounds of the playoffs, it was in December. You light the tower December 1-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd be coming back in from, you know, Rocky Mount or Fayetteville or someplace like that. And you'd see that, you know, you'd be miles and miles and miles out, and you could see the tower. And that was always cool, you know. There was, you know, that was always very cool.
Tell me about Sky 5, because I think we have a story about Sky 5 lands. People don't realize it does land on top of our building. Mm-hmm. So if you're outside and you hear it coming, like there's that moment of I have to run somewhere to seek cover because it's going to knock me over. Like I've had that. It's going to ruin my
hair.
Well,
you have the two different reactions, it seems like. You have those who... I need to make sure, you know,
I'm protected.
Yes. And then there's the others who everybody else gets out their phone and takes video.
Video. Yeah. See, I think you go through that stage. I mean, I've been here 12 years. I've gone through the, oh, look, let me do the video. Oh, let me enjoy it. Let me hide. It's always a different reaction for me.
See, I'm a big Sky 5 goof. I every single time. I will be in the building and hear it.
And you'll hear it run outside.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, it's going to knock me over.
I love it at the beginning of spring. When all the pollen's been, like, released and you just look at the ground and it's blanketed in yellow, you hear the chopper and you're like, oh, here it comes. And the ground explodes.
Yeah, it does.
There's yellow everywhere.
See, that's because you have a window you can look out of. I don't have a window.
I'm blessed with a window.
I am in the section where there are no windows. I'm in sports right now. I sit in the sports section, so
I
have
I'm in
no
the
windows.
Basement. That's maybe one of the reasons why it's exciting for me still for Sky 5.
You go up there. I got to go see it.
Well, first of all, this is our third helicopter. We've had three different helicopters that mm-hmm. are named Sky 5. But when I got here, back in a previous millennium, as we say, the helipad was not on the top of the station. They hadn't built that yet. So when the helicopter would come in from the airport to pick up a crew, we actually, if we didn't drive to the airport to get in it, more often than not, they would land it on what's now Centennial Campus. We would.
Wow. So you'd have to go. Over
so
there
somebody
and get
would
on the...
you'd either. Usually somebody would drive you in one of the station wagons over there, and they'd drop you off, and it would come down out of the sky, and you'd land, and they'd land, and you'd get in, and you'd go do your assignment.
Wow.
And then they built the
helipad.
Built the helipad on top, which was very cool. And, you know, I say it's very cool. I don't have an office in that building, so I don't know how cool that is.
Yeah, I wonder how that is when they're over there, the people who are under that.
I've been told they know when it's landing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
And they know when it's on the roof.
So what else, what other fun stories do you have from your time here? People don't realize we also have like a long-term like luncheon that we do once a year. If you've been here 5 years or more, you are invited to this really nice, like it's the one time you see everyone dressed up.
Yep.
Like guys are wearing suits and ladies are in their dresses and everyone's dressed really nice and we go and we have a nice lunch.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I remember my first one would have been, well, I guess it was 1985.
Wow.
And... it was. You're kicking things.
I'm kicking things.
And that, I've been here long enough that event has moved around to several different locations.
Sure it has.
I mean, the first one I went to was at the old Velvet Cloak.
Oh my goodness!
In the one of the dining rooms downstairs at the Velvet Cloak, and I think there was like 7,500 people there. And,
people
you know, now it's here. Hundreds of people.
People have been here a really long time, and I'm always amazed. You know, you sit at your table according to how many years you've been here. And it always amazes me as I keep going up, I see more and more people who've been here 20-plus years, 30 years.
The amazing thing about this is, you know, and I'm a pretty social person. I try to meet people and learn their names and say hey. But I'll go to the long-term luncheon, And this isn't, these aren't people who just started working here.
Yeah.
And they'll be introducing people, you know, because they introduce people who've been here 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, who are these people?
They're working in other parts of the company.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with it because
we have a lot of
you know entities. When you have campuses in High Woods and you know in the northern part of Raleigh or the Durham Bulls mm-hmm. or at American Tobacco,
we don't necessarily interact with everyone. Yeah. So it's nice to get a chance to meet everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
The food has, I'm sure, gotten better as we've moved up, right? Because
we've got the Angus Barn. None like being catered by the Angus Barn, huh?
Oh, that's really nice. It's always been Angus Barn for me, so.
Oh, you're.
So I've spoiled because I've only known the chess pie. And I'm always like, if that person next to me is not going to show up, I will be taking that pie with me.
We're just about 1 month as we record today from the long-term luncheon.
Yes, I know. I'm just dreaming of my pie. That's what I'm thinking about. I just love because we go. We
and now
so
I
fun.
Am, too.
Yeah, see, I know. I brightened your day with that tidbit, right? And Ashley, I mean, we don't like to leave you out. Ashley has been here. How long have you been here?
Coming up on 2 years.
In 2 years. It's. I feel like you've been here so much longer because you've done so much. You feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, kind of in the way that I still feel like I just started, mm-hmm. but I also feel like this has been my whole life.
Mm-hmm. You know?
It consumes you.
I mean, I started here. You know, when I started in 1980, I was right out of school. I mean, I was 21 mm-hmm. years old when I started here. So it was. In some ways, it seems I can still remember those early days, and some days I feel like I've been here, you know, a long time. But it's I even at 2 years, I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what can you tell me of anything else you can think of that's interesting about this building and crazy stuff that's kind of happened while you've been here?
I never thought we'd have beehives on the roof.
Oh yeah, the beehives on the roof.
I mean, I think the gardens are a really cool story. A lot of people don't know why we have gardens.
Why do we have gardens?
So I've been told, Mr. Fletcher, again, A.J. Fletcher, the founder of our company, his office was in. You know, there's a separate administration building. Mm-hmm. It's the very Frank Lloyd Wright building that looks off to the side, mm-hmm. and it's one of the original two buildings here on the campus. His office was at the back end of that building. It's the glass windows all the way across the back where Jim Goodman now has his office. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is Mr. Fletcher loved horticulture, gardening, and all that. And he wanted a view. And he was trying to figure out what can I put out there that would make for a nice backdrop. So he got wind of an azalea nursery in South Carolina that went under, that was going bankrupt. And he went down and he bought all the plants.
And that's why we have an azalea garden.
He bought all the plants. And so
that would make sense.
As you're looking at the gardens from the back of the studios, mm-hmm. that first, I would say, third of the gardens are the original azaleas that were planted that are, 50-ish years old. So now they keep adding, keep adding, keep adding. You know, eventually, they're going to add azaleas all the way back to Centennial.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty.
It's really pretty. And I love the fact we do Easter egg hunts in the spring for the kids.
Yep.
So we have like the employees come in with their kids and there's an Easter bunny. And I'm sorry, the bunny creeps me out.
Sometimes it's a
really cute bunny. Sometimes it's not.
I was the.
Were you the bunny?
No, I was never the bunny, but I was Rudolph one year at the kids' Christmas party.
You were Rudolph, okay.
Yeah, and I was able to scare
I'm sure a lot of people.
Jim Goodman's kids at the time. I feel fortunate because of that to be still employed after all these years.
And you're still employed after all these years after scaring them.
Yes.
That's just so funny.
But one of the other cool things about the gardens and that whole area back there, there was, when this facility was built, there was a back in that area. There were farms up in this area.
Oh wow!
And there were some hog pens back in there. And so when they were doing some renovations of the property, mm-hmm. our groundspeople found a fence back there that used to be part of these old hog pens. And up until a couple of years ago, it was still they restored it and put it back up.
Oh.
And it sat back there. If you knew what to look for, it was back there. But they've since, as we've expanded the gardens, they've taken that down. But it was just kind of a cool reminder that, you know, there were people who lived here. One of the things we sit in a room now, our little podcast booth that where we do this is in what we now call Studio B. This actually used to be the set of the original newscast.
Oh. Oh, okay.
It said over on this side. When I got here, this is where our newscast was produced. This is where we did it.
That's interesting. Because I always walk through here just thinking, this is where we store everything. Yeah. You'll see like old Christmas trees from like when we do tower lighting and Christmas stuff or Christmas trees and all kinds of stuff. We just walk through here all the time, right, Ashley?
Yeah. And I don't know, sometimes it feels like, I mean, there are fake plants. There are like banners and signs and set pieces and I made, I actually was left unsupervised for a little while and went up these stairs.
You did. Yep. What's up the stairs?
So much. It's like your grandma's attic. It's just packed.
It's fantastic. I actually used to store some of my videotapes in, you know, I work in the documentary unit and I used to, that was an area they gave me for storage. And so.
Oh,
I'm really familiar with it.
They gave it to you and several other people.
Oh yeah,
And I've never been up there. I didn't think you could walk up there. I thought it was like you'd get in trouble if you got there.
No.
Nobody caught me. So,
and then
this is when I get caught.
Yeah, and then upstairs, I mean, there's all sorts of weird spaces that have been repurposed over and over again. That area upstairs used to be, it's where now some of the offices for our garden and property management staff. That's where that is. That used to be some of our videotape editing at one point. At another point, it was our creative services offices.
Things just keep moving around. You know, we had the big renovation with the building. Ashley's in that nice new section with the big windows.
Yeah.
And it
sounds like you're a little
jealous. I wanted to be in the new section. I was originally supposed to be there, and then it just didn't happen. But my suggestion was to, like, have, like, a slide so that you could be up where Ashley's desk was and then slide yourself all the way down to the lobby.
Honestly, I had to take the stairs more than 2 dozen times yesterday. I would love a slide.
I know. I told you. I said the slide. I said, what about hammocks? I would like to have a hammock to, like, you know, just one of those little, or maybe like one of those aerial silk things that like hangs down. You can put it in like yourself into a cocoon and you can just take a break. Like I had a lot of suggestions. Yeah. I don't think Shelley took my suggestions.
No. Why did they not put you in charge is my question.
I would like to know next time there is a redo of a building, part of the building, I think I should be consulting on that.
This woman has vision.
She does. I mean, you know, when you go both out and about, you come back with all sorts of ideas. So some folks may not realize, because it's never been on TV and all that sort of stuff. We have a weird area kind of back over. Mm-hmm. People can't see where I'm pointing.
I know he's pointing at it like you guys are going to see. But it's near where the new studio is. And we have old like artifacts.
And so what it was at one point when we did a renovation, this area on the back side of the building, so to speak, what became the break room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called the back lot.
The back lot. When I started, the back lot was there.
And so
it was very 50s inspired.
Well, yeah, we got some tables from Rockola Cafe.
Rockola Cafe.
That's where that came from.
Which is where they took me for my first lunch when I was interviewing.
Nice.
They took me to Rockola.
And then on one of the walls next to the back lot we were CBS at the time. They did some faux sets from CBS shows. And so there's the Beverly Hillbillies, you know.
We have the fake door.
The Clampets. And then we have the saloon from Gunsmoke.
I didn't even realize that was
from Gunsmoke. And then you have one of the outside of a tent
from MASH.
And have you seen the autograph that's on there?
No, I haven't seen. Is that, who was that?
Loretta Swit was here one time and she signed.
Oh, it's so funny.
She signed that. Yeah.
And then we have like the 60 Minutes.
Yep,
like,
60 Minutes clock was
the big clock
up there.
Yep. Yeah, so you'd walk around and be like, oh, this is pretty cool.
And then you used to come around the corner from there to go back toward the newsroom and the floor was painted like a road and you had some pictures on the wall and it was the road to Mayberry.
Oh, it's so cute. That's cute. And now they've redone everything. Of course, we have a new cafe. We have all this stuff. But a lot of the history still remains. And a lot of people, I can tell you, in this building don't know the stuff that you're telling us. So hopefully they'll listen to the podcast and they'll learn something. Because I feel like I learned a lot, talking with you about kind of our history. And we're definitely excited about the tower lighting coming up.
Don't miss the tower lighting. It's really one of the neat triangle traditions for the holidays.
This year it's going to be Monday, December 2nd. It is going to be our 61st annual tower lighting. And there'll be a half hour special coming up that night as well. So it's going to be exciting.
I do remember one, because we do it, we broadcast it, mm-hmm. And I know one year, and I don't think anybody who was part of this is around at the time.
Okay, that's good.
So I remember one year, we did this big lead up to it for, I can't remember if we were, I think we were doing an hour and a half. So we did a half hour at 5:30 and then an hour newscast at 6. We did basically an hour and a half of newscast that would lead right up to 6:30 to the network news. And so we did all this promotion about the history of the tower and the tower lighting and all that sort of stuff. And then we saved the tower lighting for the very end of the newscast. We basically turned the lights on at the tower and then went to network news.
Oh, no.
It's like, we probably should have backed that up just a little bit.
We had one time where I know Deborah Morgan, I think, flipped the switch and it didn't come on because the switch she's holding doesn't always necessarily communicate with the tower.
I wanted to see how you were going to get out of this.
Sometimes you flip the switch and there's like a delay. It's like a 5-second delay. Well, it was more than a 5-second delay. And we all got a little worried. And then it came on. But she flipped it and she was like, is it going to come on?
Don't you wish they, like, to turn it on? It had one of those big Frankenstein laboratory things, where they just ka-chunk and the whole thing comes on.
So we've had so many great guests. I can't wait to see who the guests are going to be this year. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So tower lighting's happening. We don't have to tell you to show up. You'll just show up because you can watch it at home or some people like to come out with their chairs and their families and they watch it. One time we did have someone dressed up like Hello Kitty show up.
Okay.
It was scary because we didn't know what their game was.
With a mask?
Yeah, they were wearing the full costume, and we did not know, what the deal was. And I'm out there, talking to people, getting, pictures and stuff, and I'm like, do you see Hello Kitty? And the security guard's like, yeah. And we kind of looked at each other, and it was like, okay, everybody be aware. Hello Kitty is here. Hello Kitty has no interest right now of going toward the camera. She's walking around taking pictures with people, but there was the concern that Hello Kitty may bum rush us at one point. And we were like, we need to protect Elizabeth. Because we were worried about Deborah Morgan. We were worried about David Crabtree. And it's like, okay.
Hello Kitty.
If Hello Kitty shows up and tries to make a run for it, who's going to take her out? Who's going to protect the integrity of her?
Did you know it was a her?
I don't know. Hello Kitty is normally a female. That's how we're going to refer to it as. But I was afraid that Hello Kitty may make a move. It didn't. It walked away. There was a concern that Hello Kitty was going to run and maybe run on set.
I got nothing.
We were so worried. We were like, oh, no. Because why would Hello Kitty be there if Hello Kitty didn't want to be on camera? It was kind of strange.
You got to wonder.
I mean, that's probably the oddest thing I've seen at the tower lightings.
That would be...
Hello Kitty isn't like a stereo. Like, you don't think it's of Hello Kitty Christmas.
I don't know of any Hello Kitty Christmas special.
I don't know.
Right. I mean, I know she's got merch, but
she does have merch. Maybe she was out there. I don't know. Maybe she was out there.
Maybe she was pushing merch. Maybe she had a merch table out there.
Maybe she did. I don't know what she was doing, but we did see Hello Kitty. That was probably my oddest tower lighting story. Thank you so much, Jay Jennings, for joining us. We really appreciate you coming out and filling us in on all this knowledge. I feel like now I know a lot more about the building.
Yeah, the next time we hunt for ghosts.
You're coming with us.
Is this joint haunted? It's got a history.
Next time the ghost hunters are here and the ghost guild's here, you're bringing them around and you're telling them about the history.
Sure.
This has been the Out and About podcast, a production of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like what you heard, you know how to subscribe, share it with your friends. We love to have great 5-star reviews. Follow us on social media, WREL Out and About. And we're going to be out and about this week, and we can't wait for some fun stuff coming up next week. Got some big guests planned. So it'll be good stuff. So, Ashley, you want to tell them to have a good week?
Yes.
And everybody.
I hope you have a great week.
And Ashley's just trying to get through. Ashley's exhausted.
She's going to have to go up and down those stairs even more.
Yeah, she's going to have to keep running up and down the stairs. We're actually just going to go watch wrestling now.
Oh, yeah. Must be nice. Send me the highlights.
We'll send you the highlights from the wrestling.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a fantastic week.